everyone. It's Natalia Rose here. Hope everyone's having a wonderful summer. Amanda, I think you're going to join us a little bit later, but I believe it's Joanna. Are you there?
I am.
Hi, Joanna. Great.
Hi.
So I think we have a few questions from the community that we'd like to address. And before we do so, and we're happy to take calls as well, and before we do so, I just wanted to talk a little bit about body image and what that's going to hold us back, potentially hold you back at this stage of the game. And with that, I just kind of recount a client I had recently who is particularly has been battling for a very long time, you know, just completely across the board to slim down. And she goes up, she goes down, she goes up, she goes down. I think a lot of listeners know that experience. And I'm going to tell you what I told her, and I would take this very seriously. Quite simply, we don't have the luxury to focus on weight loss. By that I mean that our physicality is in such a state at this stage of the game in modern civilization where our bones are deteriorating. Our organs are getting acidic blood. We're basically coming apart from within. The fabric of our bodies is just being dissolved, and the core of the body is coming apart. So, in light of that, to focus on weight loss, I understand that there's an aesthetic there and there's a health situation there and all of that. And I can appreciate that. However, making that the focus and making that not even the focus but the obsession is a grave error. And what we'll find is that when we focus on the holistic healing of the body and we take our attention off the scale and off, you know, what we think when we look in the mirror every morning, and that whether it's a self-loathing, which is often is the case in these situations when people are battling their weight, get away from that mentality completely and instead focus on the health of your cells, your bones, your blood, your tissues. And when you do that, your weight will become perfect and your exterior beauty will be fabulous. You'll be more beautiful than ever. But to take the attention off the weight, because if you keep your attention on the weight, the bones will still deteriorate, the cells will still mutate, the system will still vibrate inharmoniously, and you'll wind up with all the ills that are so normal to our civilization today. And then what have you gained? You know, you may win a few, you may lose a few pounds, but your body is going to be in a tragic state. And there's no power in that. So take hold of the power you have to transform your cells and your tissues, your bones, your organs, your blood through deep tissue cleansing. Focus on awakening and releasing the waste, and the weight will go, but make that secondary, make that tertiary. It's not about that. That will happen. I love that Bible verse. I wish I could, you know, quote it exactly and tell you exactly where it is, but I know it's in the New Testament. And something about the lilies of the field. Everyone's worried about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. Are they going to have, you know, a pretty enough wardrobe, or then the food they need and all of this. But when we sync up with nature, this verse reminds us that there is no more beautifully rained flower than the lilies of the field. And they don't worry about what they're going to put on tomorrow. They don't worry about what they're going to eat. They just simply are a part of nature. And in aligning beautifully with nature and harmonizing to her rate of vibration and communing in toto with her, that they can't help but blossom those gorgeous colors and textures. And that's what can happen for you if you allow nature to just do her thing. If you can fully align, if you can get the GMO foods out of the way. We're going to talk about calories in a moment, so this is fairly apropos, but stop focusing on calories as we do in our culture today, and focus on getting the rubbish up and out of the body that's already there, preventing new rubbish from coming along, and harmonizing the system, because your frequency needs to be at the perfect pitch for your body in all of its aspects, including the non-tangible ones, like the mental and emotional planes, for them to all be in sync and aligned and harmonizing with nature. And when that happens, you will have a blissful experience. But if you keep on resisting that because you're focused on, or you're not resisting that, but you're ignoring that because you're focused on something else, and in that something else, you're acting in opposition to life, you're acting in resistance to life, then there's no good end that can come from it. So it's just going to be, you know, you can drink green juice till the cows come home. You can have a million colonics. You can, you know, take all your, I don't know, your maca powder and MSNs and all this crazy stuff, and you'll just fall to ruin like everybody else. It's time to change the frequency of our body and put our attention on the harmonizing with nature, and then everything will come together beautifully. And the only thing I'll add about that is, in order to do so, it takes a huge leap, away from what I call the puppeteers, the things that are puppeteering us. And that can be everything from addiction. So it requires a moving away from things that are addictive. These are the acidic foods. These are the foods that make you heavy anyway, so getting away from them will only benefit your, you know, that goal that may linger in the back of your mind. And it also requires considering who may be puppeteering you, what voices, what somebody has said to you in the past, or what someone says you should look like, or what the media says you should look like. These are all, they're all lies, and they're all distressful at their core. They take us away from our divine feminine. They disempower us. And they're all just... They can all be dissolved as quickly as you want them to be, as quickly as you say enough. And that's what I encourage you to do, is finally just look at them clearly and look at them firmly in the eye, see where they've come from, ask yourself why in the world they're still around, and let them go. Because they don't have a place in your health, in your beauty, in your wellness, in your creativity, in the way you want to share your love and commune with your fellow man. They just don't have a place anymore, and they're standing in your way. So figure out what's puppeteering you and let that all go. That's it on that. If anyone has any questions or would like to add to that subject matter, I'm happy to open the phone lines up. And Joanna, we have a few questions. If you don't have them in front of you, I can pull them up.
No, I do. You want me to start with the one on calories?
Okay, let's do that. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so someone asked, Natalia teaches that calories don't matter when it comes to weight. Rather, it's how fast food exits the body and how much waste is accumulated. However, isn't calories a law of physics? If someone is having juice until dinner and eating one meal per day while being active, once their body reaches its optimum weight, how does the body maintain that weight if more calories are burned than consumed?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, I never said the calories don't matter. And there are a lot of things that are thrown around sometimes very casually. What I say is that calorie counting is a measuring tool. It's not the be-all, end-all measuring tool. It tells you something about food, but it doesn't tell you everything. Okay, so there's a huge difference between saying it doesn't matter and saying it gives you some information. Now use that information in context with other information that you need to glean. Nothing is black and white in this work, as you will learn if you stick with it. But basically, what calories tell us is one of two things. The density of a food. So in a case of, say, nuts or something, when we talk about the caloric quality or the caloric quantity in something like nuts, it's high because there's so much density. So where there is a lack of water content, you're going to find a high caloric content. Okay, so it's telling us how dense something is. And we want to know how dense something is because the density is going to determine how quickly it will exit the body. So the more dense it is, the less of a human food it is, because human food is water-containing fruits and vegetables that leave and exit fully, leave the body without leaving residue. And it will tell us how much of that is going to linger in the body and also how hard it is to digest. And then the other thing that calories can tell us is how much sugar is in something. So if it's sugar dense, then so a high, if something's high in calories, it should raise a flag. It should force you to answer the question as to whether it's high in sugar or high in density or both. And of course, if something is very high in sugar and is very dense, then it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to leave the body quickly. Now, the problem is that because we live in a black and white culture, people like to say, okay, well, high calories good, low calories bad. So it forces us then to also consider the foods that are very good for us that happen to have a high caloric content. For example, the avocado. So an avocado may have 400 calories in it, but it's a water-containing, technically, a fruit, and it fully exits the body. Now, the other thing calories can tell you is, for example, if you're wanting to enjoy that as part of a well-combined, highly raw diet, then if you're going to do nuts, then you do nuts in the company of a lot of water-containing vegetables. So, say, a handful of organic almonds, raw almonds, which are, of course, are very hard to come by now. But think of any nuts that you like. You can get them easily in other countries, but unpasteurized almonds with a big raw salad. Or if you want to do a tahini dressing, great. Do that in a big raw salad. So, or make a tahini ice cream, but have that not, don't think that eating tahini, which of course is the cleaner of the nuts and seeds, by the way, is going to help your weight loss efforts if you're having tahini and nuts and avocados and everything in your daily intake is going to be nut focused. Do you see? So it's really about focusing on high water content intake in general across the board. Your food should transition to being mostly water-containing fruits and vegetables. That is what nature intended us to eat, but not what most people are not ready for until a significant tissue cleansing has been done, because then their body isn't so addicted to the denser, more acidic substances. And then just enjoying those things in the right context. And in terms of fearing, some people fear they're going to take in too many calories, and people fear they're not going to take in enough calories. The thing to focus on is your energy is going to be equal to the absence of the obstruction in your body. Or to put it another way, the more obstruction in your body, the lower the energy. So I think this question may be a little bit related to, well, if I'm having all this output all day, then won't I be exhausted if I don't take in X number of calories? I may have that wrong, but let me go with that for a moment. If you're eating normally, like the standard American diet, and you have a high output day, you will be exhausted. You'll be exhausted. If you eat three times the number of calories, you'll be exhausted if you eat half the number of calories you're supposed to take in. You're just going to be exhausted because all it is obstruction. It's dense matter that brings your vibratory rate way down, makes it impossible for your pathways to communicate with each other, and just generally is going to leave you kaput. Whether you do a ton of exercise or no exercise, that's how you'll feel. You'll energetically flatline no matter what. If your system is open, if your pathways are flowing, if you're breathing good air and drinking clean water, and ideally getting some green vegetable juice, not the powders, but the green pure vegetable juice, and some water-containing fruits and vegetables in there, even if you have very little, you're going to feel energized the whole day. Now, if you haven't deep tissue cleansed yet, then you might get lightheaded, you might feel funny, you might still have all these addictions playing out. You can't compare. You have to go the course. You have to clean the system and then see that a clean system doesn't need much to go on. By the same token, you might eat abundantly of raw salads and avocados and feel like you're eating very heartily. And your body will also feel energized so long as you're having movements to keep up with that, because cellulose takes up a lot of space in the body. So if you're eating huge salads, you need to be having great eliminations. If you're not and you wonder why you're supposedly eating so healthfully and cleanly and you're not feeling energized, it's because you're holding all that cellulose and that's impacting your colon as well. It's holding up space. And it's really important to acknowledge how much space the body needs to move, to feel energized, to feel like you're doing this right, to feel like there's value. So what I would suggest is figure out what you love to eat. And if in that mix there are some dense things, make sure to couple those dense things with water-containing salads and make your daily intake mostly water-containing foods with the, you know, indulgences of these other things that you like. And then you'll be in great shape for the long haul because you'll be getting what you really like to eat, and you'll be balancing that out with what you know your body needs in terms of open, clear pathways that it gets from the water-containing foods. I hope that makes sense. Joanna, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, it does. I think the part of the question that you addressed is right, and I also think there's the aspect of eating too much of even the cleanest foods, right, when it's like all this caloric intake, even of the cleanest foods, and that not being really helpful either. But you address that with the cellulose, too.
Exactly. There's this idea that, well, if a little is good, then a lot is better. So,
right.
I mean, these are things that are programmed into our culture, which is so nuts, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But, no, if a little bit is good, then a little bit is good. You know, the least amount you can put into your body and feel satisfied is always going to be optimal, because we never want to overwork our body. But, you know, if you go overboard a little bit, it's not going to be a big deal. But if you overeat on any of these things, even the best things can be, too much romance, I think. Too much of just about any good thing is not a good thing. That's why it's too much. So, I mean, there's certain things that are, pure, like, you can't have too much pure, genuine love flowing, because that's conducting. But anything that's going in one direction that doesn't conduct, because conducting means that things are moving in two directions. So there's flow. If there's flow, then there's never too much, because there's always balance. You see the difference? So that's why we can never have too much love and compassion, but we can have too much romance, because romance is a distortion of love. Typically, it's, codependency in it. It has some notions that come from various, programmings of, what's romantic. So that it's even though it sounds romantic, so anything that has a slight distortion to a perfectly conducting vibratory rate and a back and forth flow is going to cause a hiccup. There's going to be an imbalance there. And you can look at that and apply it to everything in your life, which is really fascinating if you want to play that game. In the meantime, Joanna, thank you. That's a really good reminder.
Yeah, that comes up a lot. Okay, there's a couple of people on the call, so feel free to press 1 on your keypad if you have a question. But in the meantime, I'm going to go with another one that was emailed in to us. And this one comes up often, too. It's the question of raw food detox diet or detox for women. And this particular person asks, I can clearly see how both books have a very different approach. I can see how detox for women seems to be the best approach for women in the modern world today. But what's recommended for someone who's been following the Rose Plan / Detox for Women for some time? Intuitively, it would seem we could choose to go between both books, omitting the sugar, oils, and nuts, and really listening to our body. It is nice, though, to pick up Natalia's book for inspiration and ideas for the occasional treats and fresh ideas. Can you give some guidance on this topic?
Yeah. Okay, so basically, what's important to understand here is how the body optimally functions, not what book says what. Okay, so if we know, in the first book, I laid out the principles of food combining and light to heavy and all these things are essential to know and making sure that this is the kindergarten, it's the elementary school, okay? So it's kindergarten through fifth grade. You're basically needing to understand the platform that you can start to understand your body and make your own choices with. Now, Detox Women came along because it was, as times have changed, and women with their estrogen and the acidity, that combination, as you guys well know now, is a breeding ground for yeast. We had to address that. We had to put something out that really helped women get what they wanted to achieve. Now, the important thing to take away are the key principles of how to live, not so much which book. The key principles on how to live in general, let's focus first on the body. That is to keep the system clear of rubbish. So you need to know food combining, you need to know light to heavy, you need to know all those things for that. And to make sure that bacteria is not growing and fungus and viruses aren't developing and finding a home in your body, which is obviously essential as well. And we skipped over Raw Food, Life Force Energy, which is probably my favorite book because it focuses on the energy component of all of this and the frequency. And if your system is acidic, then it's going to be a breeding ground for viruses, yeast, and bacteria. It's also going to be out of harmony. It's also going to have an incoherent frequency. So we want to line all these things up. We want to have a clear system with a beautiful, harmonious frequency, and that system cannot be acidic. And because it has a perfect frequency and it's not acidic, it cannot be a breeding ground for yeast and bacteria. So, you know, bingo, we know our principles. So from there, you're empowered. You're sovereign. You know how to rule your body. You can go back to the books for reminders, for motivation, for recipes, by all means. But don't, in lieu of picking out like which book you should be following, you should be creating or building that sovereignty in yourself if it's not already there. And that's done by the principles themselves. And that's going to create a wonderful sense of independence in you. I would say if you're on the fence and you're a little bit, you know, your body's not quite where you want it to be yet, then stick with Detox Women, because chances are you need to make sure that the acidity is out of the picture and the yeast are out of the picture. But once that happens, you want to think about where you live. If you're inundated with acidity via radiation, wall-to-wall carpeting, closed doors, what your office or your work environment is like, all of these things will be contributing factors to the acid-alkaline balance in your body. So if you're living in the open, fresh air, and you've done a significant yeast cleanse, and you're sort of beyond that stage now, and you're enjoying taking in fruits, and you're living a harmonious life, you'll probably find that you can it's a good sort of regular pattern for you with colon cleansing, then you just run with that. And if things seem a little off balance, then you can go back to the principles and figure out what might be off balance and get into balance. And, you know, it's about you becoming sovereign and not needing to lean on a book. I'm happy to provide a path and a start for you and something to fall back on. But we've all got to become more independent, you know, on our own. And that's where, you know, this is not any way to plug the courses, but that's where something like the advanced training comes in, because you can learn more of the deeper principles that can make you even more sovereign if you feel like, if that's a passion of yours. But in short, if your system is not a breeding ground for rogue bacteria and yeast and your pathways are clear, then you just want to focus on light to heavy. Make sure you get your green juice. So an ideal scenario would be basically for somebody who's really gone, to great heights with this. First thing they take in when they need something is water, then vegetable juice, then raw fruits, and of course, you know, organically grown, picked ripe. Get them as close to the natural state as possible, because they are mutating with every season. It's painful to watch. That's where vegetables also become a safer choice. But if you're in a great state of body and you are in a situation where you can get wonderful fruits, I highly encourage that. And raw vegetable salad for dinner, and cooked vegetables if you want it. And then you decide if you want to do a little goat cheese or avocado or some tahini or some raw nuts. Those things will all be available to you based on what you feel like you want at the time. And there's so many innovations, like, you know, things that Doris has come up with, like her cauliflower pizza. Now they have the kelp noodles, those clear noodles that are like pasta, and they're great when you make like a homemade teriyaki kind of a thing with them, or if you wanted to do the, you know, the goat cheese marinara kind of thing. There's so many things you can do now with innovations on recipes that, you know, you'll never get bored. But there's also so much freedom to enjoy food that's really water-containing and light. So it's a really exciting time to be doing this, and even when you become very advanced in this work, the food in many ways, I think, becomes more interesting, because once you get your body clean, you can go back to fruits again, and you can have, and your system is so happy to have these water-containing dishes, even if they're, you know, they have little ornate kinds of things and cool ingredients, like the kelp noodles, or like the cauliflower, rice, something like that that you're making. There's so many things to choose from that are made from water-containing vegetables. We don't need to lean on tofu and nuts and rice and all this stuff anymore. If you want to keep it really simple and just eat fresh out of your garden, lettuce, tomatoes, and avocado, that's fabulous. If you want to keep it interesting for your taste buds, you can do that and still have a mostly water-containing intake. So it's really fabulous all the way around. Does that answer the question, though?
Yeah, no, that's really great. And I think that's so the point. The principles are the same. And you don't need one path. It's really finding your way with this stuff, not clinging to the written materials for it. But I see Amanda's joined us, too, so I wanted to just say hi to her.
Hi. Amanda,
are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Amanda.
Yeah, did the call start earlier than normal?
We started at 6.
I think that's why I've been confused, because I thought the call started at 6:30, which I'm not sure if everyone else thought that too, or could have totally been my mistake. So sorry for being a half hour late.
It's okay. Maybe I was off. I don't know. We're all here now, so that's all that matters. And
great.
It's pretty recorded. So, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So have you been going through the questions, I guess, at this point?
Yes.
We have. We did a little intro through a couple of questions, and I think we've got another question. Let's just a caller.
Great. I see that. Is that Julia? Have you had a chance to get to her question yet?
Not yet.
No.
Okay. Great. Julia, you have the mic.
Okay. My question is about a product. It's a probiotic called BSL number 3 that somebody recommended to me, and she says that it's like God given and everybody should take it, every woman. So I'm wondering if you've heard about it, or what do you think about it?
I haven't. Can you tell me the name again? I didn't quite get it.
It's BSL number 3.
BSL number 3.
And she's like natural doctor, and she says that it's really good, and she came to town, and she was recommending it to everybody. They should take it for a month. So I Googled it, and it is a probiotic. It's like a medical. It seems like it's a strong one. I don't know. So I was just wondering if you'd heard about that one.
No, thanks for letting us know about it. You know, with the probiotics, it comes down to what works in your system. And you'll know if it works because you'll feel it working, and you'll see it working. So whether it's a tablet, this sounds interesting. We'll definitely look into it.
Well, she's definitely like into all this natural stuff, and she came by and we all went to see her, and she says that this is a really good probiotic, and she wanted everybody to take it, and everybody's been taking it for like a month, and they've been having like supposedly really good bowel movements, and they're like for their acne, and they can't believe the results. So I haven't took it because I wanted to ask you first if what you thought about it. So if you don't
know, I don't know. I haven't heard of it, but that doesn't mean it's not good. I mean, the proof in the pudding is the pudding.
Yeah.
So
it seems to me like something more stronger, like the doctors use that. I don't know. Maybe you can Google it and see what you think. BSL number 3. It comes right up.
Well, it's a good reminder to people that the products in the health food world that actually generate health or promote health are those things where you see the blockages leave you. So if they're waking up in the morning having great movements, then this is a great product. If you're taking that's great. If you're taking something and it's not doing anything, well, then it's not doing anything. Unless you're waking up, like in your own, filth the next morning, unless it's, obviously having a septic system to collect it, which is much better, then the product isn't working. Even if you're taking, like, the zeolites, all these things they're talking about, they're meant to pull up all the toxicity. If it doesn't create an expulsion that's profound, then, it's not worth its weight in anything. So this sounds like it's working for people, and that's what matters. So that's how you should judge your health products. Is it making a huge difference in your life? Yeah, maybe try it. I mean, let us know.
Natalia, I have a question. So on some of these things, it might not work right away. How long do you give a product a chance to work?
In 2 weeks, you should usually feel something in 2 weeks. Some things you'll feel immediately. Something like this, I would say you should know that it's working within 7 days. I mean, if you, for example, if you take Doris's kimchi, which is the mm-hmm. best kimchi I've ever had on it, you know in 3 days that it's working because your eliminations have quadrupled. So, you know, certainly with something like this, in a week you should know. And for some people, the tablets, these kind of probiotics in pill form, don't really work that well, but the kimchi does work really well. And also it's great to mix things up because they're different microbes. So if you've been using the Dr. Ohira's product for donkey's ears and you don't feel it anymore and you want to try something new, then do so. Don't worry that I haven't recommended it. If it's working for your friends, if it's powerful, what matters is if it works. And there's new things coming on the market all the time. Because I live a very simple life, I don't need anything. I don't take stuff. Unless I'm using something to increase my own vibration, there are things that can be done, but they're very advanced. I don't believe in taking supplements and all these kinds of funny things. So I don't keep up with that world. You know, there are conventions going on all over the world now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to listen to you. Everything you say is so important to me, but she also does this, and this is where I wasn't too sure about everything. She muscle tests. Like, she kept on muscle testing me and telling me, okay, you need to take 10, whatever it was, irons and mm-hmm. different things, and she wrote down, as she would muscle test me, which I had never even heard of that, she would tell me what mm-hmm. I needed, and she wrote down mm-hmm. all these things that I needed by muscle mm-hmm. testing me. Have you heard of that? That was,
of course, muscle testing has been around for a very long time. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If your body is responding to a muscle test, it might not mm-hmm. be responding the way it's being interpreted. So, for example, what I'm getting at is if you're showing up as needing something, like whether it's iron or riboflavin or vitamin D or whatever it is, the question mm-hmm. that we must ask yourself first is not, you know, where do I go get this stuff, and should I be having it tomorrow? It's why might my body be depleted of these things? And when you answer that, when you can use this knowledge to answer that question, what you're going to come up with is simply my pathways are blocked. Something's blocked. It's not because I'm not getting enough iron in my diet. It's because my body isn't in flow such that I can receive from nature and assimilate the iron, and my body's not utilizing what it's getting because the pathways are off, are blocked, and there's too much impaction in the tissue. But, I mean, what everyone should do when they get into something like this is to fully acknowledge that their body's a wreck, that nothing's functioning properly, that nothing's being absorbed properly, that there's huge amounts of impaction. They should just take that for granted. Start right there.
Okay.
And then focus on deep tissue cleansing. And then once they've done deep tissue cleansing for 2-3 years, then they can mm-hmm. go ahead and do all the muscle testing they'll want, but they won't need to do it because they're going to feel so alive. Their system is going to be vibrating at such a rapid rate that there will be no need to go and see a holistic practitioner because they're a naturopath or any of these. I mean, it may be for fun or maybe for interest or maybe there's, I don't know, some lingering thing that those kinds of things can happen because of lineage and you know, the way we live these acidic, irradiated lives. But mostly, there's going to be this sense of extreme well-being and no need to take in anything, which is fabulous. But in terms of muscle testing, it can be confusing. It can be accurate. I found it can, for example, once I was muscle tested, and it read that that grapes or the raisins weren't good for me, and you know, it's something to do later with like the skin of the raisins. Okay, I like raisins. I'm not going to stop eating raisin skins and start stealing my raisins or something because I have a muscle test against it. You know, but at the same time, when we think about raisins, they're a non-water containing food. So it's not optimal for the human body to take in raisins. It's okay to have them from time to time and maybe to soak them before you throw them into a salad. But, you know, there can be, what I'm getting at is that there can be this minutia of little things that can niggle and wiggle around you in the health community. And muscle testing can be a huge contributor to the confusion that's already out there around that. Now, if you want a muscle test for the gemstone that you should be wearing, or, I mean, not that I recommend that people should focus on crystals and gemstones either, but, like, there's certain things that won't really confuse you. Like, if you want to play with muscle testing for various reasons, you can. I don't think it's, you know, in this case, when it comes to needing supplements, the way to go. I think the way to go is to say, my body, I've been living in a modern culture. This civilization wrecks the human body, and I'm full of accumulation. My pathways are all blocked. My vibration is all messed up. Let me fix that first by deep tissue cleansing and harmonizing my life.
Okay. Well, and Natalia, by the way, I wanted to tell you, I talked to you about all my twitching earlier, and after talking to you, I promise you, I did not have a twitch for probably a week or two. Like, it completely went away. Isn't that funny?
Do you attribute that to, did you take some time to kind of think about what might be exacerbating the stress in your life?
You know what, I did. I really thought about it, and I knew I was just running wild with all my kids and everything, and I was thinking about it too much, and I decided that I wasn't going to think about it. I jumped onto this 21-day meditation thing that somebody talked about on the community, and literally, one day I noticed I wasn't twitching anymore. Like, yeah, I'm still, like, I'm real hyper, and that's just my personality, but no, I stopped twitching. Like, my eyes were twitching. Everything was twitching before that for, like, a year. And I talked to you, and when you said something like, I just need to slow down, and I tried it, and it worked really good for me. Like, I'm very, very impressed just how our mind works also.
I'm so thrilled that that was the case. You know, then it also means you must continue to do that because your body is seeking harmony and you're providing an environment for greater harmony. Something to keep in mind is that you can have high harmonious vibration and you can have low harmonious vibration. What you don't want is the cacophony. So you can be, as you say, hyper to your personality. If you're in a harmonized state and you're energized, you're enthused, you're inspired, then that's beautiful, and that's not going to give you a twitch. You can also be in your center and feeling very at peace and just meditative and breathing in, breathing out, and living your life like that, and that's not going to obviously cause any twitching or anything wrong. It's when you allow the disharmony, the cacophony of life to get into your life, the distortions, that's what creates the incoherent frequency. When that gets in, that will cause those things. That will cause every ailment known to man, the combination of the impacted body and the incoherent frequency when they go together. So you really can't separate them most of the time. But basically allow as much of the high and low vibrations as you like, as long as they're harmonious. Just start to recognize the difference between the incoherent vibrations. So the shoulda, woulda, couldas, the places you're supposed to be, the things you should be doing, the guilt, the running around for other people and folding everybody's laundry and all that's too much for you to compute. That's too much for your assembly line to harmoniously manage. So that's when you need to delegate to your kids more, or that's when you need to say no to people. That's when you need to honor yourself. Because your children also remember, actually in our last call, our call the other day on Life Force Families, there was a wonderful statement about modeling and that we are modeling to our children. So, you know, it's the most important modeling career we can have, right? And it's so when we decide, when we say we're not going to accept inharmonious frequencies in our lives, then we give our daughters, our sons, permission to pursue a life that doesn't have to include other people's distortions either, and encourages them to create lives of harmony. But we have to show them ourselves. We have to have our you know, boundaries, and use the word loosely, and that the protection of our inner warrior, who's always guarding the gate of our harmony to make sure that only harmonious things enter and exit. And the only reason the people are switching today, and we talked about how it's practically a phenomenon, it's all-time high, is because of all the disharmony. It's an expression, a symptom of incoherence. So now that you've figured it out, you know you can keep it, you can keep yourself in a more harmonious state and the symptom goes away, it, of course, it's your responsibility to keep doing it.
Great lesson for me, too. That way, I mean, I really learned a lot from that. Like, it, I can create who I am by just following, like you say, the laws of nature and do what's good for me. So I definitely have been doing that, and I wanted to tell you that. But just you talking to me that day made a big, big difference. And the way I handle my kids, I'm not so worried about the dirty, messy house because I'm kind of a perfectionist, and I just let it be, and things just have to change around my house. So.
Yeah, well, I'm so pleased. Thank you for sharing.
There's a lot of things I had to change, obviously, but so many things that I just do differently now is totally affected the way I even treat my kids. I'm just more calm and just in every way. It's actually really neat just to see myself change.
Natalia, can I jump in real quick?
This is
Amanda, Julia, and I just wanted to step back a little bit and recognize what you did. Because this is of course, Natalia had beautiful words of wisdom that helped to spur this transformation in you, but it was you asking the right questions and then you being open to listen to guidance. Because what you did when you asked Natalia the question is you then shifted the focus from what was wrong and why were you twitchy and, you know, all those things that I'm just guessing you were probably thinking about before,
mm-hmm.
to, okay, where in my life do I need to let go? Where in my life do I need to, not be such a perfectionist and not run around? And where can I soften my life a little bit? And when you asked that question, the universe then gave you that 21-day guided meditation challenge. So you relaxed a little bit, and in that relaxing, you opened up to guidance. And then you followed the guidance. So you did exactly what you need to do, and that's just a perfect blueprint for every scenario that will come up in our life where when we're focused on the problem and the issue and I got to fix it and what else could I be eating that could fix this problem, and, you know, when we approach it that way, we're so constricted that we're not open to the answers that are always right in front of us. So I just want to commend you on that process that you took yourself through. And just to reiterate that same process can be used over and over and over throughout your life with whatever comes up. So,
thanks.
Great work.
Thanks.
Okay.
Julia, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks, Amanda.
Right. We have another hand up. And Sharon, you have the mic.
Hi there. I just wanted, it's been a while since I've been able to come on, and I wanted to say congratulations on your new baby. I hope everything is going well with all of that. And I also wanted to ask, you had helped me a while back. I don't know if you remember, but I guess the best way to put it would be I'm the bladder lady. I had gone through an irritated bladder for months and months and months, and I couldn't get rid of it. And with being persistent on my pH and doing lots of enemas, I got through that. And I've been doing the juicing and pretty much eating pretty good for like 18 months now. And I can feel that I'm starting another layer of something, and it just really kind of blew me away because I was just like, oh, my gosh, you have not felt these symptoms for, I'll bet, at least 20 years. I'm 55 years old, so I was just really, it's allergy stuff, eyes itching, clicking in the throat, kind of a heaviness in my chest. I had a lot of allergies and asthma as a kid. And so I'm just wondering now, my question for you with having a little bit of this background, I'm really consistent with my green juice, and my base is romaine and some spinach, and then I'll change it up with a little bit dandelion or kale in there, and then the rest of it, the other half of it, is pretty much cucumber, some green apple, lemon, ginger. That's pretty much my standard, and there might be some beets in there or maybe some carrots. It just kind of varies. And I drink 32 ounces of this a day, and that's pretty much my lunch and you know, until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then I do the fruit or the salad or going into dinner. I'm wondering, should I, because I've been doing this for at least 18 months, I kind of mark my starting in January of 2011. Do you think I should go into another cleanse right now? I'm just kind of wondering where my body should be doing or not doing. Yeah. Or
just to clarify, are you saying that the symptoms that you haven't had for 20 years are showing their face, or that you haven't had any symptoms?
I have not had. These symptoms have been coming in and out of me for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I have not had these for 20 years. Because I gave up dairy, and when I gave up dairy all that time ago, that's when my allergies pretty much I got control of them, and then I was also doing a lot more cardiovascular, and that kind of pushed my my asthma out the window, which was a good thing. And mold was always my biggest allergy, but I have not felt that for 20 years, and now it's coming up again, and I'm like, huh? So the only thing I can think of is that I've hit another layer in my body with cleansing, and I'm wondering.
That's exactly what's happened, and you're able to do this because everything you're doing is perfect. I wouldn't change a thing. This is not the time to accelerate a cleanse. If you do that, then one of two things will happen. Either your body will just get a little bit paralyzed and stop cleansing, or you could wind up opening up this Pandora's box might become a little unwieldy. It may just be too much at once. And it sounds like right now it's a little surprising. It might be a little uncomfortable some days.
And that's all it is. It's just a little uncomfortable. It's like, and it just kind of like, what the heck? Where did you come from? And then it dawned on me one day. I'm like, oh, that's what this is. This is a layer, and
it's really exciting. And what's going to happen is when this generation of detoxification is complete, you're going to reach a much higher frequency. Your harmony is going to be much more blissful. Your head's going to be so much more clear. Your mental state is going to be so much clearer. Your ability to feel compassion and to open your heart is going to just completely fly open like wings or portals. So just know that this is happening the way it's happening, in this gentle but clear, obvious way, because your body's very comfortable with what you're doing. You're doing enough cleansing to draw it up, but not so much to make it, too much. It's perfect. I would ride it. I'd watch it. It's going to be an interesting journey. I would say this will probably last a couple of months at least. And you might even, have you had any deep night sweats? Has that been coming up at all?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Night sweats. Have you been having any night sweats with this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that might happen. Sometimes when you reach a new level, your body uses the night to do some deep sweats to help the stuff move through. But as long as your body's clearing it well, meaning it's coming out your nose and your rear end and all the right places, then you're going to reach the other side, which is just going to mean that the vessel that you have been is going to be significantly clearer, and it's going to make you just a far more dynamic person in every way. So I'm so happy that it's happening. I'm sure when this happens for people, sometimes what they think is, oh, well, I guess the detox I thought was working for me for a while, but maybe this is the proof that it doesn't work in the long term, and maybe I really do need X, Y, or Z nutrient, or maybe I am deficient. And my friends are saying, you see, you couldn't sustain it. But this is exactly when you start to go, it's the layers and the levels that you'll go to after the initial ones are exponentially more exciting, because then you start to reach the higher levels of divinity. You start to become what the human being was meant to be, which is not this sort of limited workaday, dragging your feet person trying to just, make ends meet and get whatever it is, their addictions met the next day as they were met the day before. you really start to spread your wings. And this is a wonderful stage for you to be in. And anyone who comes to this stage, anyone who's been there can tell you to stick with it. Anyone who comes to it and gets nervous or frightened by it, don't be. It means that everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to happen so that you can become more and more of a divinely created human being.
Awesome. Okay. I'm glad I talked to you. I feel so much better. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, and congratulations again. All right.
Thank you. And to answer your question, too, everything is fabulous with the baby, so thanks for saying that. Yes.
Oh, good. Good, good. Okay. Thanks much.
Bye.
Okay. So, Natalia, since I missed the first part, I'm not quite sure how many questions have already been answered from our the questions that we gathered from the community. So, Joanna, do you want to go ahead and ask another question?
Sure. So another question that we had was on spider veins. And the question is, what is the reason for this? There's so much conflicting data about it. And I think even though it seems superficial, there's more to it in the body chemistry, and vein integrity is important. So before taking a special supplement to support the process, it would be good to know if they can disappear by themselves, as so many other far greater illnesses with this cleansing lifestyle, or are they irreversible?
Well, here's the thing. They appear because it's the vascular system, and the vascular system is overwhelmed because of excess poisons in the body and excess weight bearing on the body. In fact, most people get, who don't have it because they have a weight condition, get it when they've gone through pregnancy. So they can definitely go away, but it's going to depend on the lineage. So if it's because of someone who's already has a weak system, and then lived standard American program, then the chances of the spider veins going away, it's hard to say, because there's so much in the lineage that is compromised that the body's going to be so focused on healing other aspects of the body that it might never get to the spider veins. So that's just something that doesn't mean it's the case for everybody. But I have seen people who have had lots of spider veins, and they've significantly gone away, but their lineage wasn't so compromised. They might have gotten spider veins from, a few pregnancies and that sort of thing. So I would say to recognize that it's all about the pathways being open and clear. And if that's the case, and the body is light on its feet, then you'll give your system the best possible chance of being spider vein free. And if it doesn't happen in the first year, it could still go away. The body is always, given the right conditions and the duration of tissue cleansing, the body will continue to fix things. Depends on where the spider veins are on the body's list, sort of laundry list, to-do list. And if it gets through a lot of things, the spider veins are going to be a bit like, nails, hair, that sort of thing. It's sort of not the body's priority, but eventually, as the system harmonizes, like the lilies of the field, everything will be beautiful in your system, and everything will radiate that. Now, can you do that in one lifetime? Depending on, how old you are, what kind of damage you've done to your body in the years you've been alive, and what your lineage is, that's going to determine it. It's, and of course, I suppose you can include things like prayer and visualization, all of that, if you're passionate about those things. I would never tell anyone that something is impossible. I don't believe that anything is impossible. But in terms of like what you can expect, based on what we're doing here with tissue cleansing, will spider veins go away? Again, it depends on the duration of self-poisoning and lineage, and what you're doing to correct it.
Got it. All right. We have one other question that somebody had emailed in that I wanted to read to you. How do you be free and be who you really are when you're over your head in debt? I feel so enslaved and constricted. Wondering if you could talk a little bit on that topic.
Gosh. I mean, I open this up to Amanda. I think this is not my forte. I think Amanda, with her knowledge, might be better to share with this. But I would say that just remember that that debt comes from a deep distortion of a culture that that was created to put you in debt. And as you acknowledge your debt, your financial debt, recognize the debt that that we all accumulate in our bodies when we don't care for our bodies, the debt that we accumulate the debt that, you know, we wind up saddled with when we ignore our spirituality. We basically are reared to consume and we'll pay it later. Whether it's, you know, we won't have peace right now, we'll have peace later. We won't clean our bodies right now. We want to have this thing, this instant gratification. So let's have it now. You know, to live a harmonious lifestyle and financial harmony comes when you're in harmony, in complete harmony. Take heart in the fact that as you harmonize your life, this is sure, as everything is holistic, it's sure to be remedied as well. And that's what I'll say on the subject. Again, I'll hand it over to Amanda.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's. I was going to say basically the same thing. I think a couple caveats before that is, first is that nothing comes into your life that you cannot handle. I mean, you're bringing this situation is in your life now, and you have the capability to handle it. So that's one thing, just to understand that you can do this. And none of us came here to this planet for a free ride. We didn't come here for it to be easy and comfortable and to always feel blissed out and joyful. We came here for the friction. We came here for the opportunity to evolve. And so this situation in your life is just that. It is a very, it can be very painful and very always in your face opportunity and reminder that through this you will grow and through this you will evolve. It's not that we have a perfect and happy life and then we can be who we are. It's that we become who we are through these types of situations. So for some people, it's the physical body. You know, their physical body's breaking down. You know, how do I be who I am and feel free in this prison of a body that I'm in? For some people, it's you know, a family situation or something that happens in a relationship. And for you right now, it's financial. And every single one of those avenues is an opportunity to awaken and to evolve. And that's exactly what's happening for you right now. So it's, for me, it's when I read that question, it's all about the vibration. It's all about the feeling tone. It's all about the harmony that Natalia is talking about. And when we're in the feeling tone of I'm enslaved, I'm not free, it is impossible for us to break out of that feeling tone. It is only in switching our focus to a higher frequency that we are able to move up there. Now, that's easy for me to say. How do you actually do that? Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but one thing that comes to mind to think about for you is the story. So there's a story right now that you have a lot of debt, and that you're enslaved, and that you can't break free of that. You can say that, but just add an and at the end. I'm enslaved, I'm in debt, and it's hard for me to be who I am, and I am taking action towards getting myself out of the situation, and I'm using this as an opportunity to evolve, and I'm growing through this, and I know I'm totally capable of handling it. So it's you're beating a drum right now. And if you can start to beat a different drum, even if it's really hard for you at first, and even, I mean, sometimes I would say take out the first part of the statement, but sometimes that's just way too hard. So just add. So I'm here, and I'm going here. So if you can start to change your languaging, and really it's, we could spend like 5 days on this, so or more. We could probably spend a lifetime on this, but and it is actually. This is the work. This is what we're here to do. But it really, if you can shift your focus, if you can see some areas in your life where you feel free right now. Some areas of your life, maybe you don't feel free right now, but you did in the past. If in when you're in meditation, you can visualize those moments and you can feel what it feels like to be there, those are all kinds of things that you can do to raise your vibration to then, like I was saying to Julia, attract the solutions to you. So attract the solutions that you're looking for in your life. And when we're constricted and focused only on the problem, we can't even see them. They're all around us and we don't see them. And I can give a great example of this in my own life. This last weekend, there was a birthday party for my husband. And I thought there was going to be 10 people and there ended up being 20 people. And both of my girls needed my attention, but I was the one in charge of cooking for everybody. So I had this moment where I felt chaos and I looked around and I just felt like so many people and I felt like everything was chaotic. And I heard my friend say to me, "Are we doing the cake now?" And I just looked at her and said, "No." So later, she comes to me and she goes, "Well, so you must really want to decorate the cake." I was like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, because I offered to decorate the cake for you, and you said no, but like pretty firmly. So I figured that there's some reason why you want to decorate the cake." Now, I realize this sounds like a tangent, but what I'm trying to say is, the answer was there for me. Help was there for me. She was there offering a hand, but I was so focused on the problem. The seeming problem, I'm doing quotation marks, that I couldn't even hear what she said. So it's in, and this is the tricky part, it's in getting to the point where we can relax in the chaos and be open to the many solutions that are around us. And that's when it starts happening in your life, you'll start seeing it, and then you say thank you every single time it happens. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because the more we do that, the more we'll have to be thankful for. Literally, I could spend so much more time, but I wanted to think of like a few very tangible things you could do right now. The first thing would be to change the story, add an "and" to the end of it, and maybe even get into a point where you can thank the debt. I mean, what has the debt gotten for you? Is it your education? Is it something that you needed for your children? Is it, or was it just spent carelessly? And then you can say, "Thank you for pointing out to me that I need to make some serious shifts in my priorities." So if you can get into gratitude, if you can change your story a little bit, those kinds of things will really help to raise your vibration so that you can be aware of all of the answers that are available to you right now. So, sorry, that was pretty long-winded, Natalia.
That's amazing, Amanda. No, you did such a great job. It's absolutely true. And yeah, if we can all take that to heart in any area of our lives, it would be hugely meaningful. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you for the question, though. I think it's so awesome that the question even came in because it's showing that this group is taking a leap. You know, this group is getting to the point where they're realizing that, wow, you know, food has been a gateway for me to realize that I can be empowered in other areas of my life too. You know, that it doesn't stop with my physical body. It transcends into all these areas of my life. So when I saw that question come in, I was so excited because it shows that this group, I think this community and Natalia, this amazing platform that you've given all of us is, it's helping us get to whole new levels in our lives, which is exactly what I know that has been your intention all along.
Yeah, I had the same reaction when I heard that question. I thought, fantastic. People are getting the fact that this is all interconnected. And we welcome more of these sorts of questions that may seem to be, but are definitely not off topic.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you so much for that. And we know that you're going to solve this puzzle piece.
One more thing. there just happens to be a true prosperity workshop from Michael Beckwith tomorrow and Saturday. My time, it's 6:30 to 2:30, so 8:30, 9:30. 9:30 Pacific time. And it's Michael Beckwith is one of my favorite metaphysical teachers. And so that's, you know, maybe the answer that you're looking for tomorrow and Saturday, and it's not very expensive, and you can live stream it, so might be something worth looking into.
Amanda, how can people find that?
If you go to Agape Live, AGAPE Live.com, you'll see they have like a banner on the True Prosperity. I think it's called, I'm pretty sure it's called True Prosperity. So that's tomorrow and Saturday. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, in that case, I think we're ready to wrap up, but we look forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks or hearing from you all in a couple of weeks. And enjoy the rest of your summer.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Take care.